Well, I was, when he first came, I was chairman of the board. But then he, after, I don't know whether he was here, what, about 9 or 10 years, wasn't he?
7 years, I think.
7 years, yeah. Well, after about 4 or 5 years, he called me up one time and told me that, that this thing in New York was, this probably must have been about 5 and a half, 6 years after he was here, that there's a chance that he would be offered that job in New York.
As state chancellor of the State University
of New York. Yeah. And anyway, he was, and he took it. And but he, I'll tell you, those three guys on the board, those three Democrats, they just did it, especially Warren Huff and Clark White while he was around. But I managed to get them off at conventions. I got Branch Martin to run, to knock off, well, it was a, who's this guy, if it's a businessman, from, maybe you better stop a minute, let me think. Was a businessman, he had all kinds of operations going, so it was, Hannah, I went to, Aunt Hannah had a delegation go to Africa, and he included two trustees, Alan Harlan and me. And I got, well, that's how Branch Martin happened to get on the board. And Harlan was working with those guys, you know, that was making life miserable for Wharton. So I went over to Branch Martin, and I'd seen a piece in paper. I didn't even know Branch Martin. But there was a big piece in a paper one day about Branch Martin. I think it was in probably in the State News. About how he'd been, because he was a football player, you know, and he was a good one too. And then he was a dentist, and it was about him being a football player, you know, and then a dentist and so forth. And so I clipped that out, you know, and I made copies of it, and went up to the convention, and I wanted to get Alan Harlan off that board, you know, and I went up there, you know, not knowing whether I'd be successful or not. But anyway, Branch went around, you know, and he'd had an accident. That is, he hurt his Achilles tendon, you know, ripped it, you know, and he had to have a big, heavy cast. So we got him, I went to the convention, and by golly, he was nominated. And that knocked Alan Harlan off the board, you see. Mm-hmm. That was one. And so I moved one of the Thorns and C. Allen Harlan, that's his name. Branch was elected. And then after that, I didn't run for chairman, so after a few years, Pat come on in 1970, I said, didn't you? Branch was elected chairman for a couple of years. And well, then it went step by step. Warren Huff came up for renomination, and I can't just remember how I did it, but there's a lot of people supported me in this move to get him off because he's making life so miserable for Wharton. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he was knocked off the board by the Democrat convention, and. See, Alan Harlan and Clare White, we knocked them off one by one, mm-hmm. 2 years apart, you see, because they never ran at the same time. And then, of course, you had Republicans would win some of those elections. And it ended up, there were times when you'd have a Republican majority. It was an 8-member board then, sometimes 5-3, and sometimes a Democrat majority, 5-3 or 6-2 or something like that. But usually, outside of a few things, there were very few issues were settled on a partisan basis.
Mm-hmm. How was it that you ultimately left the board?
Well, in 19, I left the board in 78, yeah, at the convention. I just decided I'd won the 70. I was able to get through the fight I had in 1970. And I figured, well, and I might not have run in 1970 if there hadn't been this fight to push me off. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, heck, I think I, you know, there's no reason for me to, I think I've been out there long enough. Let somebody else have a chance. And, oh, I know, and there was a girl by name of, she served on the board, but anyway, she was an active gal, it was a single gal, but anyway, she was elected. I guess one of those guys somewhere in there that were removed one by one by the Democrats, and pretty much with my, you know, with my initiative. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I got a book here that might have her name.
Okay.
The Democrats won. You see, on this business of it, it's a question about the advisability of electing trustees or not electing them. I think there's pros and cons to all that. If the governor or the president, if the governor would appoint him, you know, they would all be pretty much of his political leaning and so forth. And if they're elected, why, there's always the acquisition, you know, that the parties would have influence that they shouldn't have. There was a great move. Hannah was a delegate to that Constitutional Convention. Mm-hmm. And there was a great movement, you know, to take the board, the election of the board, move it out of the partisan politics. But they didn't do it. They left it as it was. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, when I left the board, this woman whose name I'm trying to think of, mm-hmm. Was elected, and she served very well. She was, at the time she was elected, she was, I'd never heard of her, never mentioned her before, but her name came up, and she seemed like a real good candidate, and we supported her at the convention, and she was nominated, and the Democrats won that year. Mm-hmm. And she's off now, and she got married, I think after, well, she may have still been on the board when she got married, but mm-hmm. anyway, she wasn't married when she went on the board, but she's a very, very, very good person, very good person.
Did after you left the board, did you have any other contacts with the university?
Well, yeah, of course we get invited to a lot of affairs, you know. Mm-hmm. The president, they always have, before the Michigan State game, you know, they always have an affair, you know, there at Kellogg Center, and it's a nice affair. We always get invited to that. And occasionally there's some other things that they invite us to, and we go when we can. I'm very interested in the football and basketball teams, you know, I support uh-huh. them. And we don't go to all the games, we go to a few. But a lot of them now we watch on television. I have season tickets. I give them. If I don't use them, I give them to my Chris here a minute ago, or my grandson.
Your grandson.
Yeah, we're going to go away for a while, you know. That's why we bought a dozen eggs, and I thought, hell, we don't. I don't leave it. We're going to Sylvia's next Thursday, a week from this is Thursday, a week from today. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there until the 8th of May. Then we'll be back on the 25th of May. We're going to Peggy's, who lives in San Diego. My daughter Margaret lives.
You're traveling a lot.
So we're going out there. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my God, we want to be using maybe a few of those eggs. So I told Chris yesterday, I said, you stop and pick them up, pick those eggs up if you want them, because I don't want them to spoil. And so that's why he stopped here today.
And looking back on your work as a trustee in association with Michigan State University, is there anything that you think stands out the most or what you...
Probably two things that I think stand out the most. One of my support for Hannah. I was going to turn that right off, but that's all right. My support for Hannah through the years, because in my opinion, he was a great president, a great man. He did an awful lot. He built the university from a little agricultural college to a what it, the university is today, you know, pretty much. Of course, it's developed since then. It grew well during the Wharton years. Mm-hmm. And I think McPherson is doing a very good job.
That was the support for Hannah was one thing.
Oh yeah, support for Hannah and Wharton. Mm-hmm. Support for Hannah and Wharton when they needed it. And I think in both cases it was to the good of the university that we did, that I was able to, and that enough agreed with me, and that there was a group of us that supported them. Usually I never had many disagreements with Hannah at all. I had more disagreements with my so-called friends than I did with and Wharton was always mine. But when he saw he was going down to State University of New York, who came in after Wharton?
President Hardin was
the
interim.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. It brought about Pat Carrigan was on the board then, and John Brough, and I don't know, but Pat may have been chairman at that time, but anyway, she called me one time, and she said, well, it boils down to Hannah or Jim Miller, and she said, which one? I said, well, geez. I said, how did you choose, for me to choose which one, because I like them both. Uh-huh. Jim Miller was there at the university for a long time, and very able guy. But anyway, I said, well,
Between Hardin?
Well, no, I'm talking about Jim Miller, the other person. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I think maybe, see, Hardin had been president of Northern Michigan University, and he did a good job up there and so forth, so I think maybe from my experience of university's leadership and so forth, Hardin might have the advantage. And she said, well, she was chairman, I'm chairperson, as we call it. And so she had John Brough and several others on the board, the people that were on the board at that time, and that's how they brought Hannah in. And I remember they asked him, Pat told me, they asked him if he would serve, you know, as president.
President Hardin.
Yeah, President Hardin. Mm-hmm. First as acting president, they made him, because they wanted to go through a procedure like they did and picked Wharton. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, he says, I'll only come on one condition, if it's unanimous. And I wasn't on, was I on the board at that time? Yeah, I was. And it was a unanimous vote, mm-hmm. Yeah. he was made, but he wasn't running very long. But I remember when I was still on the board, and Pat and John Brough and Hardin, the three of them would drive, I was over at Oakland University then, and I'd meet over to the Fox Hills restaurant, and that's the place where Jimmy Hoffa was picked up, you know, and disappeared from the face of the earth. But anyway, we'd meet there and go over the board actions and so forth and things that are going on. And Hardin got along, I'd say, pretty good for a while. Did Matt Mackey come on after him?
Yes.
Yeah, then Mackey, had nothing to do with that, of course. Mm-hmm. But he come on, as far as I know, he seemed to be a pretty good president. Mm-hmm. After Mackey, it was,
John DiBiagio?
John DiBiagio, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know too much about DiBiagio, there's Mackey and DiBiagio, and then, I guess then, is it McPherson? Did he follow that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the good things, I think. You see, you ever hear Jack Singleton?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he was on the board, you know. Mm-hmm. He was one of the Republican members of the board. And Joe Ferguson, they're pretty much, those two, at least looking at it from a distance, I think were pretty much responsible for bringing McPherson here. Because there wasn't any great controversy, but they were looking for a president. And I don't know if Joel was chairman of the board or Jack, but they were both on the board. Joel was a Democrat, Jack a Republican. And they brought, Cecil Mackey, right?
McPherson,
right. Following Cecil Mackey, yeah.
DiBiagio resigned.
DiBiagio, yeah. He left. And where did he go? He went
to Tufts
University.
Tufts
University, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He was Blanche Martin's instructor in dental school.
Yeah.
That was their connection.
Blanche told me that, yeah. Yeah, he knew. See, Blanche used to, he was a quite a guy, you know, he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great athlete, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he used to go into Detroit, University of Detroit, you know, he'd drive in there two nights and teach at the dental school.
Uh-huh.
He was, you know, he worked hard all his life.
Lots of energy.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of the project, and I really appreciate the time that you spent, and also for the insights that you shared.
Well, I hope it's helpful.
It certainly is. Thank you.
Nice to meet you, too.